are very excited to be joined now by the one and only Ali Siddiq. He will be appearing at the Orpheum on June 18th and the 19th. To that person's text, the Custom Fit Tour making its way to Memphis, and he's got the new stand-up special, My Father, that will premiere on his YouTube channel. Ali Siddiq joining us now on Sports 56 Mornings. I wasn't sure if you would join us after the Knicks game last night.
Man, you know, I was sad. I just rolled out. It took me so long to get out of bed today. It's just, okay, let's get to it. So this is what I'm saying. Man, how we gonna win if we in the penalty from the first quarter all the way to the end of the game? Like, it's just ticky-tack fouls, man. It's supposed to be
you
a little
You sound like Mike
that,
Brown,
man.
Ali. Come on now.
Man, me and Mike on the same page. It's just foul after foul. You got Bridges on the bench. You got Bryce on the bench. You got his daddy on the bench. You got everybody on the bench, man.
So here's the question. How are you? Because you're a Houston guy.
I live in Houston. Houston guy.
How are you a Knicks fan?
You know something. This is one of the things that cooks my beans. You know Dallas fans don't ever have to explain how they Dallas Cowboys fans.
I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yes, and he is one.
But I always say, whenever he says, how are you a Cowboys? Because I grew up up by Chicago. They say, why are you a Cowboys fan? I say, I'm from America. We are America.
Come on.
So, Patrick Ewing got drafted to the Knicks, and I left Georgetown with Patrick.
Okay, so that makes sense. Because you're one of the comedians, like most of these comedians, you end up either in L.A. or New York. And when I first saw that you're a Knicks fan, I was like, oh, he must have moved to New York. And I'm like, well, no, he has remained independent. He doesn't go to New York. Like, he's a Knicks fan from Houston.
Yeah, for all live from Houston, Knicks fan. And people know I've been one for a very, very long time. And it's just, you know, it's the grief. You know, I've suffered with this team. You know, I've been through the transitions with this team. And, you know, and man, we were supposed to be cooking last night, man. And they just took some of the fire out, man. It's crazy.
Are you worried? Are you worried now?
I want to say I'm not, but I am. It's like, If they lose another game in New York, then I'm very concerned.
Right.
I'm very concerned. They got to win this next one.
Are you trying to go to a game in New York? Are you willing to pay that money?
Do you have $1 million that you can just buy a ticket?
I don't think. I was sitting there wondering, how are all those people there for that type of money? I was wondering, like, yo, are they giving away tickets or something at the top? Were they filling up? Because all those tickets can't be that expensive.
Right.
I think they gave Spike his.
They said Spike was on the pregame, and he said he pays for his tickets because he has season tickets. He said he was offered $500,000 for his two tickets for last night's game, and he turned them down.
Yeah, Spike got too much money.
Spike's okay with that.
I would have missed that game. That game would have been missed. I think I would have had just as much fun outside or at my house with my own snacks. I'd have like, hey, wife, want a Coke? Bring it. Like, you know, dress up in all black and be like one of the people who serve you. Oh, man.
Half a million? You'd be lighting up your cigar using money. I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness. Half a meal? It's no way. I would have been sitting in that seat. There's no way. What? I wonder who offered it to him.
I'd like to know.
What is your price? If you had two tickets, say you had two tickets to last night's game, and what would be the price where you go, okay, yeah, you could have them? What's the lowest you would take to miss that first playoff game?
But like, whoever, because if somebody got my number, then they got some money, and they offering me something. If they start off with $300,000, I'm out. They start off with $100,000. I'm out.
You're not even like, negotiating. You're just accepting the first offer, and I'm good.
Man, do you understand? Y'all to look down and y'all to saw who y'all to saw Regis. You saw Kelly from you just saw somebody that you've never seen at the game before. Like, what they doing there? Ali gave his tickets out.
Ali Sadiq's tickets. Well, then again, I wonder with your schedule, with all the things you're doing, you're touring, you got the specials, you don't even have time to go to a basketball game.
Okay, let me tell you this. Okay, people say they don't have regrets. Okay, I have a slight, it's not all the way a regret. I don't know what that would be. And then semi-regret. So I'm in New York, and it is, they playing Cleveland. I decide to go see Cedric Entertainer at his play on Broadway instead of going to the game. And the whole time I was still thinking about the game, and I could have just went, but I didn't. I said, I'm gonna be cultured and go to a play instead of going to the Knicks game. Ridiculous.
And then Cedric probably said to you, what the hell are you doing here? You should be at the Knicks game.
Yeah, we went to dinner. It was his daughter's birthday after the show. I had a good time, and then he asked me. I was trying not to think about it. He said, what the Knicks do? I said, one, glad you asked. glad you asked, one.
Ali Sadiq will be coming here to Memphis June 18th and 19th at the Orpheum Theater, joining us on the program. So I mentioned, and you're talking about, you're in Houston. You have not gone to New York. You have not gone to L.A. These specials, you're doing it on your YouTube channel. It's not a Netflix special or whatever. Why has it been so important to you to remain independent and do these things yourself?
Ownership. Ownership is a big thing to me. I don't want anybody to be able to control my work. And it started when I did a special with Comedy Central. And I posted, trying to, promote the special. And I posted it on my page, and they copyright infringed me.
Whoa.
They reported me for, posting a clip of myself. and we called and we asked about it. And the words that they used, I took very personally. It was like, well, we own it. And it kind of gave me this thing like, do y'all feel like y'all own me?
Right.
Like, yeah. What's going on? So I decided I was just going to go independent and figure it out from that point. Because, and we built our YouTube channel from the first special. We built it from like 300 people to what it is now.
Incredible.
And we just engaged with our audience and just kept pushing, And I was already familiar with it because I had albums on XM Radio.
Okay.
And that we had to push those albums as well. And I used to do street promotion for albums. I used to work for multiple record labels and a record pool. So I'm kind of good with just going out, working hard. And then, I sprinkled a little of my former street pharmaceutical background in there as far as pushing the record. It wasn't a lot. It was a sprinkle.
You just dabbled. You dabbled in it. That's all. I understand. Before we talk about the tour, again, Orpheum Theater in Memphis, beautiful theater, by the way, if you haven't been there, June 18th, June 19th, the special, your latest special, My Father, that will be debuting, premiering on his YouTube channel on Father's Day, June 21st, appropriately timed at Father's Day. Is it what it sounds like about your father? What's it about?
It is about the relationship with me and my father, up, down, good, bad, indifferent. And it's, my hope is to have people who had great fathers that they celebrate their fathers even more for the, whatever they went through and the triumphs that they went through. And then for those who did not have such a great relationship with their father, hopefully they can find some medium and forgiveness for mishaps. My father, I say all the time, he wasn't a bad father. He just wasn't ideal. He wasn't what I saw on TV. But, who father is. Some people father are, some not. But you have to really be grateful for the time that you had and the contribution, whether good or bad. Because I'm a great father because my father wasn't.
Right.
And so I didn't want my kids to have that type of ideology about me, but I also I'm also an independent businessman because of my father, because that's what he was, you know. So, and I play chess just like him, and you know, I like fish sandwich with mustard just like him, you know. so I still have a lot of the characteristics. And the funniest part of the special to me still is the beginning. All the rest of the stories that's in there are funny, but the story that kicks it off is me and my father sitting, and he just turned to me and said, "You know, I know karate, right?" And I just
out of nowhere,
it's like anytime I even hear somebody say they know karate, I just laugh because this is the crazy. I never even saw him with no karate shoes, outfit. I never saw him watch a karate movie or nothing. But that man out of nowhere just said, "Hey, you know I know karate, right?"
was that a threat? Like, just in case you got uppity or something, he was going to like, "Hey, man, I want to hit you with a karate chop."
I don't even know why. It was nothing happening. It was like he just wanted me to know that he knew karate. And I was like, "Yo, but who's gonna doubt him?" Because my dad was 6'3", and then he wore boots all the time. Would put him at about 6'4" and a half. And I'm like, "Who? If he get in the karate stance at 6'4", pretty not gonna go. I'm gonna go with what he's doing."
I was gonna say so, like, because I want the My Two Sons starts with the fight between you and your son. So I thought maybe just every one of your specials started with you fighting somebody.
No. I think three of them do.
Because so what do you like the My Two Sons? What do your sons think of that when they see that? Do they just laugh?
They laugh because they know that it's true stories about them. They like, and they can't even believe I said it. They like, "So you just gonna tell everybody?" I'm like, "Yeah, everybody, telling everybody." Everybody, what you did and how you act. So, you know, I think that I got a long list of children that live in my house. Like, my house is quiet now because everybody's gone. But you know, I haven't gotten around to the daughters yet. And you know, I have seven girls, so it's a whole different. Yeah, it's a whole different mindset with them. You know. I cry a lot with them.
Mm-hmm. The emotional side comes out with the girls.
No, and they don't know that it's fake crying. It's like some of the stuff don't even resonate with me. I'm just like, you know, but you with women, you got to cry with them to make them feel like you are in with them.
You know? I got you.
Oh my God, this is so terrible. I can't even believe. Out of lip gloss at Sephora. Okay, I just, like, I don't care. Yes. I don't care. But I can't show her I don't care. I gotta be, you know, she's gonna grow up and blame some man. "My father used to cry with me. He showed his soft side." I'm like, "No, I didn't. No, I really didn't."
Yeah, they catch on when they get older. They catch on real quick.
Well, you do have a serious side. One of the things that you do is Ali Sadiq from Inside, where you go to, I guess, prisons and talk to these inmates. You've spent time in prison, but what kind of got you into doing that and made you want to go do that?
When I was inside, I was giving great counsel to people. I kind of changed my whole life in there with, you know, how I was or what I thought I was supposed to be in there. So at first, you know, first 2 years fighting a lot, beating up a lot of people, people didn't realize that I had been boxing since I was a small boy. And then I know a discipline. That's why my daddy told me, "You know, I know karate." It's right. Funny. So I was very nice with that. So then this old guy gave me some advice about, you know, how I should do my time. So I kind of just started going back to what I was originally in my life. I'm a very jovial person, very happy, you know, very helpful, you know, like the rest of my family, you know. And I was in college when I got busted, you know. And my mom's a history professor. My sister went to college. All my cousins went to college. So I was like, yo, man, in order to get out of here, y'all going to have to start educating yourself. And I would just go to all these different classes and learn and, you know, try to implement cognitive intervention within other guys. So I knew that I was going to be some sort of an example when I got out, because I knew I wasn't coming back. So to give people some type of hope, some type of guidance, I would go back in and say, okay, this is what you can become if you focus, you know. Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten more and more successful, it has it's caught on with everybody besides juveniles. Juveniles, when I go speak to a juvenile facility, it's like the worst. It is the worst because I'm still dealing with kids that are in the worst position, but think they know everything.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know, dealing with adults who, you know, kind of understand, hey, man, I'm going to have to change some things. I went to a juvenile facility in Cleveland, and I walked away damaged. You know, I walked away sad. Wow. You know, whatever uplift I was trying to give them, I didn't receive it from myself, because it seemed like I didn't help any person there because of the demeanor of how they don't receive anything. You are incarcerated for something. Mm. I came to tell you, as a former incarcerated person, I'm coming to tell you the roadmap that it'll take in order to be successful after the situation. Yeah. And they acting as if, you know, well, you know, I'm going to be. Well, that's sad.
Right,
you know, that's
right,
sad
right.
That you want to stay in this position. That's sad.
Well,
you know, so...
You're leading by example. You're leading by example. But if you got through, you know what, Ali, if you got through to one person, and who knows, maybe you did, it didn't seem like it at the time, then it was probably worth your while. And that's the only thing you could ask for, is that you get through it at least somebody. But I'm sure what you're doing is, I mean, hats off to what you're doing to be able to go back there and do the things you do, because not everybody can do that. But on an uplifting note, we'll end it with this. Again, you're coming to Memphis, man. We cannot wait to have you here June 18th and 19th on your latest tour. Tell everybody about what you're going to be talking about, a little bit of what you're going to be talking about as far as the tour is concerned, the Custom Fit Tour coming to Memphis.
Custom Fit Tour is based upon tailor-making people in your life, you know, who you have surrounding you, and I got some great stories about how things in my... But I heard your co-host said that he came to Albuquerque, you know.
Well, that was a text message we got from a listener, actually, that said they were...
They knew you were coming on. And
when we said you were coming on, they texted in and said that they just saw you, I guess, last weekend or whatever in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque was so great that it was... If the only thing that would have changed about Albuquerque, if they would have been on time. You know, I tell people to come on time because I do an hour and a half show if people are on time. If you're not on time, now we got to go to an hour 10. If you're later than that, now we got to go to an hour. You don't get the full story. You're going to have to wait for a special to come out, which I already have like 6 specials in the can. If whatever I'm doing now, this is not going to come out to like 2030. So
so they show up late?
They show up late.
The people from Albuquerque are tardy?
Man, the people, you should have saw Detroit. You know, getting 10,000 people, I mean, getting 5,000 people in a theater after 5,000 people had just left. It's the turnover. It's not like turnover a comedy club. You know, that's 300 people. This is a different animal. But we have 3 shows in Memphis. Yeah. So that first show, they're going to have to be on time. So on Friday, they're going to have to be on time so we can start the second show on time. And the second show, people are going to have to be on time so we can get out of there on time. But just be on time.
Be on time.
If you learned anything today, it's
be on time. And again, if you learned anything, you know, because I've mentioned it a couple of times already, June 18th, June 19th, get your tickets now at the beautiful Orpheum Theater. Ali Sadiq will be there. But Ali,
good luck to your Knicks the rest of the
way. Yes, good luck to your Knicks, and thank you so much, man. Looking forward to having you here in Memphis.
Y'all. All right, thank y'all.
Thanks,
Ellie. See y'all in Memphis.
Take care. Bye.